¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and here are my primos, Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes.
What up?
Yo, what's up, guys? Ready to rock and roll for week four, numero cuatro. Let's rock and roll.
There is so much stuff going on. We're going to jump right into it, but gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. Estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Making sure you're checking out our FamiliaFFB.com website with the latest and greatest content, as well as our social media channels, Familia FFB on Twitter and Instagram, and our Familia FFB Facebook page. Yesterday, I was sitting with my family, and we were, somebody got up, and then somebody got up from the sofa, and then all of a sudden, one of my daughters jumped into her sister's spot, and then when she came back, her sister's like, "What happened?" And I said, "El que sale a bailar pierde su lugar."
Boom.
And
dichos
from Mexico. Yes,
man.
Those who don't speak Spanish, it's if you got up to dance, you lose your spot. So it's so much better than seatbacks, I think. Yeah.
Yes, and just to add a little bit more context. There are so many of these, and actually, my mom I think one of her cousins is a nun. And she like actually has collected like throughout her life, like it's collected all these dichos and she wrote them down in a book. So my mom's going to get me a copy of that. And we're going to start going through these dichos. And it's kind of like Aesop's fables. It's kind of like, yes, you know, sayings, you know, don't lock the gate after the horse is gone, you know, that kind of stuff. It's a saying that has meaning, you know. It's like, el que sale a bailar pierde su lugar. It's like, hey, if you, you know, fantasy football wise, like, hey, you know what, if you passed on that guy and you wanted to draft him in the next round and you're thinking that he's still going to be there, you know what, somebody scooped him up, you know what, you lost your spot. So every dicho's got it has a hidden meaning or a deeper meaning. So I think this is gonna be fun kind of cracking these out as we go through all of our different shows here.
No, I love it, love it, love it, love it.
And so I just want to give a shout out before we get started. So, you know, we've been going through our podcast and we've been prepping you and me and Ricky, and, you know, our league is now our 10th year, hyper competitive league. Everyone's like a G, like straight up pro. I just want to say to our Familia FFB Familia out there that George and Rick are 1-2 in out of our 12 team league. Hyper competitive. I'm number 9 right now, but I'm like Seabiscuit, kind of hanging back, just kind of waiting. You know, I have a lot of points, but I'm just, you know, sometimes it just happens where you score a lot of points, but you get into a freaking barn burner and you lose by a little bit, but you still have a lot of points. So it's early. Still got, you know, I still got my, I'm still in a good spot, so to speak. But just want to give a shout out to both of you, Georgie and Rick. Congratulations going into week 4. George is number 1 in our Familia League. Rick, number 2.
And I'm only behind
nice job, guys.
I'm only behind him by 2 points. but I just want to point out, heck, you're 10th in points in the league. So
whatever.
It's the classic. It's not how you start or where you finish. Well, I do.
Like I said, Seabiscuit. I'm like Seabiscuit, man. I'm just kind of just waiting to. I'm just waiting to, you know.
And now with my new addition of CMC.
Injured CMC. So when he's finally
able to run again, I'll have to play George week 9.
Risk, so reward.
I'm excited.
So yeah. We shall see.
That one's going to be hopefully. Am I playing you that week? Is that when you're playing? When I'm playing you?
Week 9, yeah.
Well, this week I got my arch nemesis, Primo Nico. You guys, Familia, you guys have heard him on this show a few times, subbing in. And as we've mentioned before, he has beaten me in some really, really crazy times, especially since the 2011 championship. So if I could survive this week, especially with half my team being Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'll be okay. And Chris Godwin. So we'll see. Nice. No, it's a great start, and let's see what Cheesemess says. So let's see what Cheesemess says. So we could start looking at next week. Oh well. Familia, you know, we woke up this morning to find out that the Steelers-Titans game has been postponed. So
PPR, right? That game's PPR. Usually it's PPR, like, but in baseball terms, postpone rain. But so this game's PPR, right? Postpone as it's PPC, postpone COVID.
I guess so.
PPC.
So we're talking about it could be played on Monday or Tuesday, or it could be jumped to another week. So we don't know exactly at this point. Right now, I know on our Yahoo League, it shows that the game is postponed. I know I've got another league where I'm on Sleeper and it's still not showing up as postponed. So I think this is, we're just going to treat this as a bye week and just kind of hope that there's not an outbreak, especially in the Minnesota on Minnesota who played the Titans last week. It's been four players from the Titans who have been put on the COVID-19 list. Ricky, you're the RN, you're the medical professional in this group. Any thoughts on this? How crazy
it's
this?
It's crazy to see how quick it moves. I think in the next 2 days, everyone's probably gonna be living in a bubble for the next 2 days. They're gonna get tested. They're gonna see if anyone else has positive tests. Hopefully, no one's symptomatic. But other than that, how do you make up the games? Hopefully, they can do it Tuesday. Because the thing you have to think about is they're not going to have all their players if any of them test positive. So right. It'll be a weird way because Tuesday night's also the waiver wire. So it'll affect fantasy football for sure.
You also
can't put people on IR for COVID because they don't have IR or they don't have COVID. They're just on a team that's not playing. So baseball's been seeing a lot of this. Fantasy baseball is affected, but it's a different beast for football. So
yeah, once a week. And how does it, you talk about a monkey wrench thrown into it. This is like a freaking crane. This is like a giant, a cat. I don't know what you want to call it. There's a gigantic piece of machinery thrown into it. Not just a wrench, an entire truck, thrown into the mix here. Obviously you feel bad for anyone who's testing positive for COVID, but as far as the games are concerned, how do you play on a Tuesday and then again on a Sunday?
They need to be open to readjusting the schedule.
Yeah.
The schedule be fluid.
Right.
And just know that, hey,
absolutely.
Every divisional team needs to play each other three times. Doesn't matter when. And honestly, they need to start thinking about going in a bubble. There's no point to playing at the new stadiums. No one cares about SoFi Stadium or the new Vegas Stadium, the printer that it looks like, because the fans aren't there. Like, cool, we get to see it on the screen, but it's like, you don't get to see the stadium during the game, so just play somewhere else. All the AFC West and NFC West teams should have one bubble in the West, and they need to start thinking that way because football's life.
It really
is.
I
don't know from a football standpoint, there's already complaints about playing a Monday night game and then a Sunday night game. You can only imagine the injuries and how guys are not – the teams will probably get blown out. If you play on a Tuesday and then you have to play again on Sunday, bet against them. If you're in Vegas, bet against that team because they have, 5 days
of rest? It's the same as playing Sunday and then Thursday.
It's actually one extra day, Tuesday to Sunday.
More than Thursday?
Yeah, so the Thursday you
no,
got
no, but
three.
If you play on a Thursday, you have a bye week. They give you
not always. I mean, like the Jaguars and Miami Dolphins didn't have a bye after playing Thursday.
That's good. Good
I mean,
point.
I think the NFL will do everything they can to play this game this week, so they don't move. Because I think if these two teams their bye weeks do not line up, so that would
exactly
mean switching other teams around. So it's I think they'd rather not do that. And but the thing is, if this is the if they don't play this week, this is their bye week. And I don't know if if you're the Steelers or the Titans, you don't want that bye week. The Steelers are preparing as if they're playing this week, so they're just waiting to find out. And I saw that Mike Vrabel, the coach of the Titans, said that in having a massive Zoom call with his team, which they are doing these with the positional groups too, but with an entire team-wide Zoom call, the players just were unanimous, said, you just tell us to know when we need to play, time and place. So they'll be ready to play on Monday, ready to play on Tuesday. So I think from a TV standpoint, the NFL would love it if the game would be on Tuesday because it's like another Monday night game.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Especially because it's
captive audience.
And you got Derrick Henry, come on.
It's like buying popcorn. It's like buying popcorn at Disneyland. You know, you captive audience.
My
you know
God, they're gonna stretches watch. Out the fantasy weekend.
Oh right? God, yeah, yeah. You stretch it out, and then all of a sudden you're getting ready for waivers on that night. So it's
4-3 hours later, you're doing waivers. So
we'll see. I mean, we're gonna keep on top of this both on the Friday podcast and as well as you know on everybody just keep an eye on Twitter, Instagram. All definitely on Roto World and Fantasy Pros. Those sites are really great for news. So ESPN is great. So just definitely. Keep up with it.
Yep.
So the Eagles, Los Aguilas, they just are, just getting crushed with injuries. DeSean Jackson.
It's like the Mexican flag, like the snake is like eating the eagle. Like, because the eagle's just dying, right? It's just, it's bad.
It's crazy. It's crazy. They placed Dallas Goedert and Jalen Reagor on IR. And DeSean Jackson, his hamstring did not allow him to practice on Wednesday. He said it was minor, but, maybe it's something that he gets in a light practice on Friday and then he could get in. But this is tough, but.
The savior is Alshon Jeffrey.
He might be garbage eventually, but it's like the only other person to throw to is Ertz. So, oh my God, I feel bad for Wentz because he's a good quarterback.
Alshon's, what does this mean for if you're from a fantasy standpoint?
It means a soft tissue injury by week 7.
How many targets? If you're PPR, if you're an Alshon Jeffrey owner, what is this? 19 targets for Alshon Jeffrey? I mean, what is he going to do?
They're going to have some undrafted free agent get a bunch of targets too. Right. So it's just, look, it's a situation you want to avoid because it doesn't matter the targets. It's the percentage that he catches them.
Right.
And that
doesn't get hurt.
Wentz even gets the chance to throw it to him because, hey, he's going to take a lot of coverage sacks because he's just not going to have anyone. Yep. We'll see what happens. But hey, go against this team. Don't bet on him.
The thing is, they're going to have so many tasty matchups when they get into the NFCs because nobody can stop the pass. And so that's just going to be – you look at that. None of the teams, the Giants, the Redskins. The Redskins have a great pass rush. They do not have a good secondary.
The Washington football.
Redskins. Ay, mijo. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay.
Hey, el que sabe bailar pierde
There's
sembrar.
There's got to be a dicho about that.
Oh my goodness.
El que something.
El que something.
I got la monjita slapping me on the wrist with a ruler. So for that one, for those of you who went to Catholic schools,
the nun is smacking your knuckles with a ruler.
Yeah, Sister Mary Elephant for those Cheech and Chong fans.
Yes.
So that's the thing. If Alshon Jeffrey, he's gonna have targets when he's healthy. It's just
right.
And I mean, he's getting the workload, so he's working his way up.
Yeah, one guy DFS play, right? He's gonna get 20 targets next game. So Alshon Jeffrey, put him on your DFS hit list.
Well, you know, we haven't gotten the active. It's just he's getting workload. So
when he eventually gets out there, he's gonna dump balls to him all day. So
yeah, Chris Godwin. Not practicing. I saw him walking off that field. I just was like, this is a multi-week thing. It just didn't, you know, it was hobbling
off the field.
Hammy. I mean, I'm thinking he's missing at least 2 games, especially after he missed that game with the concussion. I mean, it's just, I'm still Ricky. Every time I see Chris Godwin's name, I just keep thinking how, you know, Travis Kelce is just going to be an absolute monster for you. And I should have had him instead of Godwin.
But. Hey, you said if, that's not allowed.
I should have. I didn't say if.
You intimated. If you would have picked Kelce, then this wouldn't happen.
My team in the family league is like my all-time favorite team ever. I got all my favorite players. So besides Mahomes, I would have liked Mahomes, but Kyler Murray is going to be a beast.
Yeah, Kyler Murray is the special player.
Kyler Murray.
So I didn't.
He's a good
Godwin.
Second fiddle.
Right.
He's a good second fiddle to Mahomes
for sure.
So another one, and this one's kind of affected. By the Pittsburgh-Tennessee game,
yeah.
Diontae Johnson is officially in the concussion protocol, which you kind of saw coming. You know, that's tough. He was off to a good start, definitely looking like the 1A, 1B receiver with Juju Smith-Schuster. So,
it's really sad to see too, because concussions we've seen linger.
Yes.
In the case of like Jahvid Best or – Brandon Cooks, who's actually playing better now.
Or Jared Cook, too, right? There's definitely guys that just keep getting them, and just, you know, when they're going to hang it up soon enough, because, man, you just can't keep getting them.
And it's just one of those things where, yeah, he might feel like he's ready to play on Sunday, but you never know if one little knock in the head again is going to do it. And this Pittsburgh team is really aggressive, so we'll see what happens. I hope he plays, because I have him on a lot of teams, because he was being drafted way, way late. I mean, for the team that I have Juju, it helps. But
James Washington,
you got to get on the James Washington train.
Yeah, exactly.
That dude is going to get some ball. I think more than Claypool. Claypool's the rookie, right, on that
Claypool's
team.
Yep. Claypool's such a home run hitter, though. I mean, that 84-yard bomb that he caught in
week two. That's not going to happen every week, though.
It could happen with Deontay Johnson out.
Yeah.
Nah, so, I see Washington fulfilling the number two spot, and Claypool just maybe getting like two or three targets more. And that's Deontay. If Deontay's gone more than
a week. Hopefully he's not out that long. He's on my team, so I'm saddened. I'm saddened by his absence, but hopefully he gets healthy quick and he can jump back in my lineup.
Well, getting healthy quick, Michael Thomas returned to practice on Wednesday.
Yeah.
They were talking 3 to 4 weeks. I think he missed two. So if he plays this, I mean, the fact that he returned to practice today, that has me thinking that they're targeting
cortisone injections Sunday. Are a wonderful thing for players. They just, you know, it's supposed to hurt, but they, you know, throw some painkiller in there and that, you know, he's ready to go. So hey, there's that.
Oh, well, hey, let's get into some week four previews.
Let's go.
All right.
Hey.
George, you take the crappiest game. Please go for it.
I gave myself the crappiest game. Esto es mierda.
Let me guess. I'm not even going to look. Does it involve the Jets?
Benny and the Jets. I wish Elton John were playing halftime of this game so that we could get something.
So there's going to be some entertainment, right?
Don't be fooled, though. The last 3 weeks have been a lot of points with crappy teams besides week one.
That's so, the thing. That could be the
so
same.
So expect that. Expect that this week. The thing is, I just don't know who's going to get them all other than Melvin Gordon.
Unbelievable. I don't know. It's Denver 0-3 at New York Jets 0-3. Thursday night football. The Denver is favored by one. I don't know how that's possible. Then again, they're playing the Jets.
I mean, they flipped the coin, maybe.
But the over-under is a paltry 39.5, so they are either expecting a defensive showdown or a battle of futility.
Just bad offense.
Bad offense.
That's what that is.
But Melvin Gordon's going to get the ball so much with no Lindsay, no quarterback, because Brett Ripon or whatever it is, he's an undrafted free agent. So the Jets have it easy. This is probably the easiest game they're going to have, and I'm sure the Broncos are thinking the same thing. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to, like, butt fumbles and tip passes, like, stuff like that, and, like, blocked field goals that they get a touchdown off of. I'm sure someone's going to return a two-point conversion this game. So I think it's going to be high scoring, because I think that's just the flow of Thursday
the
night.
The nature,
so
yeah. It's going to be like a punt return for a touchdown because special teams just suck. Like that kind of stuff. Or pick six.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
two on each
like
side.
Yeah, two on each side.
True.
That'll cover the over-under right there. There's four pick sixes between both defenses.
Well, you might not even have any receivers on the other side with Crowder with the hamstring. He's questionable. He missed last week. Perriman's already been ruled out. And Herndon's now being used for blocking. I don't even know who Braxton Berrios is. So it's like Sam Darnold, he just doesn't have a team to throw to. He's got Gore, which tells you right there the team already gave up. So I don't know. I think it's just going to be a defensive.
Yes, and we're in week four. Game. So let the record show, Your Honor. Week four, Frank Gore is a starting running back in the NFL on a team.
In 2020.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, both secondary. I mean, the one thing that would tempt me to take the over on this game is the fact that both teams, their secondaries are either bad or hurt or both. Brett Ripon. I think it's Ripon.
Ripon. Mark Ripon's Mark Ripon's nephew.
Yep. You know, Super Bowl MVP in 1991.
Extended nepotism. That's like John Elway, you know, extending an olive branch to Mark Ripon. Like, they played against each other back in the 80s and early 90s. So that's got to be like, yeah, that's my homie. My nephew, hook him up. Like, all right.
Yeah, a million-dollar franchise he's going to put on just some nephew of a guy.
Mark Ripon's nephew, undrafted free agent. Like, I've
got a league where I have to play Noah Fant, and I don't feel too bad about that because the Jets aren't stopping anybody in the passing game. And Sam Darnold, the one thing I'm going to be keeping an eye on is Sam Darnold this week. If they – I want to see, even though he has no receivers right now, I mean, Crowder – I doubt Crowder plays in this game, but even though he has no receivers – I just look at the fact that if Sam Darnold can't make it, if he can't make it there, I don't think he ain't making it anywhere.
Hey, that sounds like a song. You should write that down. especially if you're in New York. Like that sounds like something that a New Yorker would say, or it's something about New York. Like,
yeah, so we'll see if they're going to actually be playing New York, New York when at the end of that game, even though the game's in New Jersey. But I don't know. I mean, I think we've talked about this game enough. Let's go to Sunday. Ricky.
Let's go to a fun game.
Yes,
fun
Ricky.
Yeah, I'm taking us to Chicago, the surprise 3-0 team of the year.
Another
especially
because
so surprised
to be 3-0 and already switch your quarterback out. So yeah. We know Nick Foles is going to start. Last week, he easily got 3 TDs. And last week, the Colts had their upswing. They got to play the Jets, killed them, what, 37-7, some garbage like that. They're not going to have it easy this time because you got a way better quarterback than Darnold. You got more weapons in Montgomery, Robinson, and Miller. And also, Jimmy Graham's been stepping it up, especially in the red zone. So I think, honestly, the Bears look like they could go 4-0 because I just don't think Indy's defense is ready for this team. And I don't think anyone is because no one knows what Nick Foles can really do in quarters 1-2. And if he can actually score some and they can get out to a good lead, they can just run it down the Colts' throat. Because the Colts with Phillip Rivers – last week, he was good. He went 17 for 21, 200 yards, and then Brissett got to play the rest of the game. So I want to believe he can do it. Matty Ice did it for the first half, which is an Atlanta thing to do. But he just couldn't come back on Chicago. Chicago was able to just basically come back and tear him up. So I don't know. I think the Colts, I wouldn't bet on them. I think that the Bears' defense is stronger than a lot of people are giving them, and I think their offense is too. And I think for anything on this game, you're going to want to pick up Foles or any of the Bears' offense, I think. And I think Robinson's going to be a huge play. He got over 100 yards last week in a TD with 13 targets, and now he has a quarterback who's way more accurate and makes better decisions. So if Robinson's not on your list to pick up or try to trade for now that Foles is in, come on, you got to be a good player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're a fantasy player, you already know that Robinson's a lock. I mean, Nick Foles probably got scooped up by everyone off the waiver wire. If anybody needed a QB or you just wanted a nice second QB just to have, then Foles was your guy. He's probably gone. I don't know, Yahoo probably has him at some, you know, probably, he's probably up 80, 90%, you know, rostered in Yahoo leagues or ESPN leagues. He's got to be. I mean, like we've talked about before, Nick Foles is a Super Bowl champion. You know, there was a game a couple of years back. He threw for 6 touchdowns in the game before. So this guy is no joke. Nick Foles can really handle the pressure. We saw him come in. He came in the game, threw 3 touchdowns, like nothing. Like it's like, you know, it's pretty cool to watch. The guy is really good. I think he's underrated. He doesn't get enough credit. Nick Foles is a really good
16 for 29 throwings, a gunslinger. That's not very accurate at all.
Well, I mean, he dusted the rust off, sure, but still threw for 3 TDs. But that just goes to show you, he can, as Georgie says, he can only go up from here. And I can see it. If it's a volume, it's going to be a volume play. He's going to be throwing a heck of a lot. He's got great receivers, Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, and like you said, Jimmy Graham is just kind of blossoming right now again. You know, so yeah, the Bears are, like you said, good defense. Now they have a pretty scary offense as well. Watch out for the Bears.
Now, the Colts, when you look at their offense, the only one who I think is going to actually be a good sleeper is going to be Mo Alie-Cox, mainly because there's no other receivers for Phillip Rivers. He's got Pittman and Campbell out with injuries, and he's got T.Y., who I'm starting to lose faith in every week, and it's already super low. So I think the running game is going to be key for the Colts. If they can get it running, then Mo Alie-Cox, he's going to get thrown to because this defense is going to be all over. Phillip Rivers is going to have to throw those jump balls.
Yep.
And he's the only guy I would go with if you're desperate in fantasy. But if in DFS, I would definitely pick up Mo Alie-Cox, save some money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be a big Jonathan Taylor game. I think they're going to try and control the clock a little bit and keep the Bears off the field.
Oh yeah.
And I just don't know if Rivers is ready to be in a shootout in this offense, but I think they're just going to rely on that big offensive line.
If you know Phillip Rivers, he's going to try to gunsling it. He's going to try to sling it out. I don't think he's going to succeed, but I think he's going to try.
Well, talking about gunslingers, I think Hector down in Cincinnati, you're gonna have an underrated gunslinging game.
Yeah, this is gonna be like the old West. I mean, I'll be your Huckleberry, right? This is the
a couple of Huckleberries.
the shootout at the OK Corral. We got Gardner Minshew going up against Joe Burrow, and these guys just throw. I mean, Gardner Minshew threw 42 times last week. Burrow threw 44 times. I mean, between the two of them, they threw the ball 86 times between these two guys. You guys chucked the ball all over the place. I had the misfortune of starting Gardner Minshew over Matt Stafford.
I guess you can call it that.
And yeah, we'll call it misfortune. and I think, going up against a very terrible Miami defense. And Jacksonville just made them look like, the Baltimore Ravens Jacksonville just looked really bad out of sync. And obviously I think the biggest part of that was that DJ Chark was out. And then this Gardner Minshew was just out of sorts. That's his main guy. And luckily Chark returned to practice on Wednesday. So hopefully he gets to play. And even though Minshew threw up a dud last week, don't be scared to fire him up again this week. With Chark back in, that's going to be great. James Robinson ran really well, two TDs last week. And he also caught six balls for 83 yards. He's he's for sure play. Make sure you play James Robinson if he's on your squad. Keelan Cole and LaVisca Chenault, they did okay. Serviceable, four catches for Keelan Cole, five for LaVisca.
Not in standard league. They're garbage.
Yeah, between the two of them, 76 yards. So not much going on there, especially now with Chark back. Even less for them. So I'm not looking at those guys at all.
This is going to be a big Chark week. If he's healthy against
that, exactly.
Browns look good. Of course they're going to let the Jags look good.
Right. Yep. And then we got Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. Last week, T. Higgins went for two scored, which is awesome. Cause I just picked him up off waivers like an hour ago, which is awesome. Tyler Boyd went for 125 yards. AJ Green just seems to be, relegated to the second fiddle to Tyler Boyd. It just seems that way. But Joe Burrow just throws. He threw for 312 yards last week. Look for more of the same. These two teams, their defenses are not stellar, by any means. So I think there's going to be balls flying all over the place, like the sprinkler that you put in your front yard that spins and it just throws water all over your lawn. It's going to be like that. There's balls going everywhere. It's going to be fantastic. Look for the over under 48.5. I don't know. That's probably going to be over that. I think between these two teams throwing as much as they will, Chark, if he plays, I look at maybe like a 30-30 game, somewhere in that 28-30, 32, somewhere in there. It'll probably hit 60 points as a total. So at the over. Cincinnati favored by 3. I would probably stay away from that, but I would probably definitely bet the over.
Ricky, what do you think about Joe Mixon? People in fantasy community is really going kind of local over him being overdrafted in the late first round, early second round.
I mean, I didn't like this guy last year. Everything he did last year was a fluke. When he came out in the end and did those 100-yard games, I don't know. I never trusted the guy. I was happy he didn't fall to me, that instead Kamara did. But come on, that never happens. Especially with the 12th pick. But it's like Mixon was way overpicked. There's players when you draft that that it's going to be a stretch for them to stay at that level. Like if you pick Mixon as
right.
the 10th RB, it's like, is he really going to keep that up? No, he's not.
And no guarantees with a rookie QB, for sure, no guarantees there at all.
No, and the defense isn't playing well enough for him to get a lead and be able to just be released in the backfield.
Yeah, we called this week six.
And I'm going to tell you what, T. Higgins is a fluke too. 40 yards on 5 receptions. He's going to be just the guy who does the quick routes.
It's a volume play. Like I said, A.J. Green is destined to get injured at some point for the stretch run.
Not at the volume A.J. Green's going at. He's barely getting the ball.
but it's getting worse and worse by the week. I mean, A.J. Green had 6 targets, T. Higgins with 9. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be the Burrow Boyd show. And for Jacksonville, all the receivers are going to get great numbers because they're all going to get open because of Chark. So it'll be a fun game to see. It's going to be high flying.
Yep.
I think there's going to be some sleeper DFS picks out of this game because it's both defenses are bad and especially bad against the pass. So
yep.
I think this is going to be an underrated fun game to watch. I think I'm taking the over on this one.
Yeah. Like I said, with Chark back, I think Minshew will be a different guy and he's going to be back in sync and he's going to do well. I think he'll do very well this week.
So let's go down to Big D, Cleveland at Dallas. The Browns are 2-1. The Cowboys are 1-2.
How is that possible?
That the Browns are 2-1 or the Cowboys 1-2?
Both. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, a 2-1 team is playing a 1-2 team, and it's Cleveland and Dallas. Who would have thought that the Cleveland Browns?
They'll even the score after this week. Don't
and
worry.
And Dallas needed a milagro. Dallas needed a milagro to get the one. So
it's been a good football season.
This is going to be an interesting game because the fact that Dallas is a 4.5 point favorite and the over under is 55.5.
That's high. I know that is high.
That sounds big. I honestly feel like I think initial reaction is Dak Prescott's going to throw a lot. The Browns secondary is really banged up. So they're going to throw and he's going to get another 400 yard game and Baker Mayfield's going to have to throw to keep up with him. So that's one narrative. The other narrative is you got Nick Chubb and Ezekiel Elliott on the same football field and Kareem Hunt on the Browns. I mean, truth be told, that those are easily, you know, 3 of the top 10 most talented running backs in the NFL.
Yep.
On one field. So it could just be a running game between the two. So that's why I'm finding it hard to kind of figure out what kind of game plan these teams are going to go with. I think the initial reaction is Baker Mayfield is a sleeper play. He only threw the ball 23 times last week for 156 yards. I really ultimately in my heart of hearts, I think he's going to throw, you know, 30 to 40 times and because he's going to have to keep up. And the fact that OBJ and Jarvis Landry are going to be able to get loose against that Cowboys secondary. On the other side, gosh, I mean, you just look at the fact that Zeke, he did not have a great game last week. He had 56 total yards, but he was kind of apologetic about it. So you got to figure they're going to feed him the ball. But and then the receivers, it's like, who's going to do it this week? You got, Cooper's got, you know, 25 catches for 267 yards over 3 games. It's decent, no touchdowns. So could this be his breakout game? Michael Gallup had his breakout game last week. CeeDee Lamb was, you know, 2 weeks ago. Cedric Wilson came out of nowhere for, you know, 107 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. It's, I don't know. I mean, either you guys have a feel for this game?
I think Dak, I don't think Dak will get 400 yards only because I'm super pessimistic about the Cowboys. But I feel like the Cowboys are going to have a lead on the Browns. I don't see Baker doing those amazing things you think he's going to do, Georgie. Chubb and Hunt, I think, yeah, they're going to try to start with the run. But eventually, yeah, Baker's going to fall behind by 2 touchdowns, be forced to throw. And if he does 2 interceptions, they're going to be way behind. Zeke's going to be able to get the yards he wants, the yards he needs to eat. And then Dak's just going to be able to roll. He's not going to have to get 400 yards like he was when he was playing against Wilson or Matty Ice. So it's going to be a different game. They play to their opponents, really. They let them get away the first half, and then, they do some damage the second half. So, I don't know. The Cowboys, I think if they want to prove that they're as good as the best, then they really need to shut down the Browns. They can't let them be competitive. If they do that, they're going to lose the game. They're going to lose the game morally because it's like Dallas claims to be one of the best teams. Well, then they better show it against this mediocre team.
Yeah, and just imagine if this game is over and the Cleveland Browns are 3-1 and the Cowboys are 1-3. I don't think the football gods or the NFL gods will allow such an anomaly to occur. So I believe that Dallas is going to take this. Vegas is right. 4.5-point favorites. Bet on Dallas. I think Cowboys are going to come to play. I think Dak's going to have a great game. Zeke's going to have a great game. And I think as the weeks go by, we're just seeing a lot more good things happening from Cooper and Gallup and Lamb. I think these three guys are just, like I said, Dak's got this awesome receiving core at his disposal, along with Zeke, who also catches balls out of the backfield. Watch out for the Cowboys. Yeah, they've stumbled out of the gate for sure, but I think the best is yet to come for the Cowboys this year. They take the Browns this game, no problem.
I think actually, if the Cowboys do lose, I'd actually want to listen to Dallas Sports Talk Radio on Monday just to see what that's like.
The excuses and the reasons.
No, or just the pure venom that the fans are going to spew. It'd be hilarious.
I don't see how it could happen. I don't see how. Oh, they're gelling. They're gelling now. And, two games in a row of over 400 yards. I mean, watch out. I think the Cowboys are going to blow the heck up on the Browns. And this might be a statement game for them, just to be like, you know what, this is us. We can do this too. If Russell Wilson can do this, we can do this too. Look out. So they need to. Exactly. I think they will.
Hector, take us to the other D-Town, a.k.a. Motown.
All right, let's go Motown. Motor City, Detroit. New Orleans Saints at the Detroit Lions. Saints are favored by 4. High-scoring game. Look, all you need to know is that it's Matthew Stafford going up against Drew Brees. This is all you need to know. Michael Thomas is practicing. If he's back and gets to play, that would be just huge for the Saints. Obviously, you know, we've talked about Drew Brees last couple of games. He's just not vintage Drew Brees without Michael Thomas in there. You put Michael Thomas in there, it's like Voltron. You know, these guys connect, and it's just like it's a whole different thing. So hopefully he comes back, and this will just be a lightning, just an amazing fireworks game. Kenny Galladay's back. Matt Stafford, gets the Lions their first win. Obviously, there's a reason Galladay's back, his number one receiver, and they get a victory. So Adrian Peterson, he's still like the Energizer Bunny. Got 75 yards on 22 carries, one reception for 10 yards. The guy's still – I don't know. He's
making carry on obsolete right. And Swift obsolete.
Yeah.
And it's stupid because that's not what fantasy players want.
Well, but so, you know, AP that's what the Lions want. Killer. The Lions just want to win. And if AP is going to help the Lions win, they don't care about fantasy.
I don't watch football for Detroit wins. I watch football for fantasy wins. You know
what? I hear you. So, I mean, I'm looking for a super shootout. I like Tre'Quan Smith. He's been doing well the last couple games. With Thomas back, I think he's definitely going to take a step down, and we're not going to see him as much.
Is Thomas back?
Obviously, if he's back.
We
don't say if.
I know. with the possibility of Thomas coming back. you still got Emmanuel Sanders there. Obviously, Alvin Kamara, the monster, you know, the guy that just does everything. He's like a chameleon. He can do it all. He's like a Swiss Army knife over there for the Saints. He can catch. He can run. He can just do it all. So look for him, obviously, to shine again. If Thomas is out, Kamara kind of like takes over for Thomas as well as the running back. He just does it all. I look for a high-scoring game either way. You know, the Saints just kind of figure out a way to throw up a lot of points and a lot of yards and a lot of fantasy points on their squads. So look for a lot happening in this game. I pick for the winner. I like I don't know. I'm gonna go against the grain here. Even though Vegas has the Saints as a favorite, I'm gonna go with the Lions here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think this is gonna be a field goal game. Right. I think the Saints win, but I think they'll win.
In a dome, that's nice. Yeah. It's nice to have a field goal game.
They're at Detroit, you know.
I don't know if you guys have come on to this yet, but it's an Alvin Kamara season. I think even when Michael Thomas is back, it's going to be Alvin Kamara all the way. Thomas is just going to make him even more open. Tre'Quan, I think, I hate saying this word, but he's garbage. He's last week got 42 yards. I don't want to deal with that anymore, even if Thomas is out this week. It's right. Going to be Sanders, who's finally starting to get a rhythm with Drew Brees. But, yeah, no one else on this team I want other than Kamara, which obviously I have. It's amazing. For the Lions, they're hot. I would want any piece of this, even if you want to take a waiver out on AP as far as DFS for the week to get a cheap running back. TJ Hawkinson, I think he's just going to be a goal line freak, so get him too. And with Marvin Jones, Marvin Jones with Golladay back, I wouldn't want Marvin Jones. But it's like this team's finally going to be back to where they were, and Matt Stafford's going to be hopefully able to get over 300 yards.
Yep. So I just cut Marvin Jones.
I saw that
to pick up Brandon Cooks. And is that garbage. A smart move?
Basura. Brandon Cooks is not going to last that long.
You know what? As long as he gets me through the, if he could get me something this week against that Minnesota defense, that was what I was looking at. I was looking at the Minnesota defense. Yeah,
that's fine. You're like streaming him. That's okay. It's like streaming a defense. You just pick up a player to stream, get you some good points. Yeah, it's a good play for sure.
One day you guys will be able to draft a team that you're proud of to play every week.
Whatever.
Because you don't make any moves once you make a draft.
You just gave up three guys to get CMC. So, you know, you drafting your teams and you're just giving away.
But if you look at my entire starting lineup, I've only gotten rid of the kicker and one running back.
Three,
that's it.
And three of your guys.
I don't.
They were bench players, technically.
Hey, man, just saying.
One of them
wasn't. Don't be talking about how we draft our team and then you're over here giving away your guys.
I'm not going to want to face Ricky in the playoffs. I'm scared. I'm a little scared with CMC. A healthy CMC? Ay, mijo, no, yo no sé. Yo no sé. All right, let's go down to Miami. Vamos a Miami. This is going to be a fun game. I think this is going to be a fun game. Seahawks at Miami. Listen. Russell Wilson is just – he's in God status right now. He at the start of – you know, a season like you had Tom Brady in 2007, you had Peyton Manning, I believe it was 2013 when he had the 55 touchdowns, and Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago with 50 TDs. Russell Wilson, I mean, he could have 15 touchdowns right now.
Except for my guy, right?
DK Metcalf, a.k.a. Leon. DK
Metcalf.
But it's going to – he's going to have a huge game. Miami's defense is not very good. They are basura, and Seattle's defense has been giving up points and yards like crazy. Stan Locos, this is going to be a fun game to watch.
Fitzmagic, it looked real. I was surprised. Yeah. Fitzmagic looked really good last week.
He didn't have to throw that off.
Well, 18 for 20. That's crazy. That's so efficient. That is.
Do you guys think that Gaskin's going to be able to do anything on a team that was able to hold Zeke?
No, I don't know how much he's going
to
do.
I'll tell you right now, Miami's not going to be able to do crap, all right? Maybe Fitzpatrick gets some garbage time.
Exactly.
But the number one thing you should be looking forward to other than Russell Wilson TDs is maybe getting to see Tua. Other than that
– you think so?
Seattle does not want to make this a close game. Nah, they're going to run out with it in the beginning.
Fitzpatrick was 18 for 20. He's not going anywhere.
Here's the thing, you know, a little secret. I mean, Fitzpatrick is a guy in another league. I've got two quarterbacks by the name of Ryan Tannehill and Ben Roethlisberger.
If that game gets
postponed to another week, the top quarterback on the waiver wire is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So it's not a bad play.
I got to look at that. I would bet the under.
He'll throw for 200 yards and two touchdowns.
So you think this is just going to be a Seattle blowout?
Yeah, I think.
But they've only been playing heartstopper games. That's the one thing about it.
Because they're playing rough games. I mean, they played Dallas, who's an amazing offensive team. So, I mean, come on. That's just the way the game flow's been. And they're going to want to come out to a quick lead. So Russell's going to take it right away. And this way they can just let Carlos Hyde run with it because they can't afford Carson getting injured. Is Carson out for the week for sure? Do we know yet?
We're not sure. He's got a grade one sprain, which to me that says I think they're going to sit him out.
And look for a lot of short passes. It's going to be Russell Wilson all day. He's going to look good. Yep. And with Miami having to try to catch up with Fitzpatrick, the second he messes up, they're going to go to Tua. It'll be nice to see. It'll be hard, but I don't see Fitzpatrick being able to do it. He had an easier matchup last week with the Jags. So, I don't know.
Seattle's secondary is so
Seattle's going to make it to the NFC Championship.
They will. They will be. They will not make it. They will not do it because of the defense. They're going to do it because of that guy, that number three. That guy's going to take them because he's going to outscore everybody that they play there. I mean, honestly.
So, you think every team's going to be able to score 30 points on Seattle?
I think good offenses. I'm not saying Miami's a good offense. I'm not saying that that Miami's going to score 30 points. I think they could score 20, you know, 20 to 20, you know, in the 20s. I think they could do mid to high 20s against these guys, probably topping out at about 28 points. And I could see Fitzpatrick throwing for 300 yards and two touchdowns, just because Seattle's defense has been pass defense has been so bad, and they're going to be keying. They're probably going to be able to take Myles Gaskin out of the game, because you're right, Ezekiel Elliott had such a bad game last week. So, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised this game goes over. In fact, I would call the over on this one, but Seattle will. Seattle will
like Rick
go
said,
4-0.
Garbage time. Fitzpatrick's is there. It's easy to. So Seattle's already going to be making their tee times, you know, when they're up by 30 points. So, you know, they'll let Fitzpatrick throw like two to come back and make it interesting. But, yeah, this game will be over pretty quickly.
Ricky, let's close it out in Tampa.
All right. So, and it's a fun game. It's going to be the Chargers at Tampa Bay. The Chargers absolutely do not like Tom Brady. He's always caused us such anguish. And now we get to visit him at his retirement village. It's going to be fun. Good. The good news for him, he's got Melvin Ingram, Derwin James, and Chris Harris for the LA Chargers on the IR. Therefore, Chargers are going to have it rough. They're going to be able to just let Tom Brady throw on them. They showed it last week when Teddy Bridgewater was able to move the ball against them. And what I really think Tampa's going to be able to do is run on them, because Mike Davis, when he got out into the open field, was able to do it. And the guy who can do that for the Bucs is Leonard Fournette. Last week we saw Ronald Jones with 13, Fournette with 7. This team's so inconsistent, I bet you Fournette's going to have way more carries than Jones, just so that they can keep everyone not on to – yeah, off balance.
So would you start either one of them?
Would you start Fournette this week? I would start Fournette if we're in my flex, yeah.
Okay.
But it depends who else I got. So as far as Tom Brady – he's got to have a good game. I mean, everyone on this team looks good, because the Chargers, they lost a great rusher in Ingram. Yeah. And now they're backfield with James and Harris. It's like they can't do much without them. I mean, they do still have Hayward. They still have Desmond King. But they're losing players left and right, like everyone else. But they really need these guys to be able to do a rush on Brady and get those quick picks. And they just don't have it. And with Mike Evans – probably with a chip on his shoulder for going 2-2-2 last week, and with Godwin probably going to be out, it's going to be hopefully Scotty Miller doesn't tear up the Chargers, but definitely pick him up in your DFS leagues. He'll probably get like a bunch of targets with just him and Evans. Gronk is garbage. Don't even think about him. But they have no tight ends either, so it's going to be – and they don't need them for this game either. They have no defense to go against. As far as the Chargers, get everyone on this team. This team's awesome offensively right now. Justin Herbert threw for another 300 yards. He's going to do it again this week. Eckler, they're finally starting to give him the ball more, and I think they need to, because the dude's just elusive. He got a touchdown finally last week, and he looked fantastic in the receiving game, 11-11, 84 yards. Joshua Kelly is just a nice change of pace, but I don't think he's the future as far as this season.
Not in this game because Tampa Bay's got a great D. They got a great run D.
And that's why they need to keep Eckler in, because Eckler really needs to just tear their line down. And if you want, heck, go on about Keenan Allen.
Oh, man, that's my guy. Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert, this is well, first of all, I think I'll piggyback on what I said last time about Rick trying to trade for Keenan Allen, give me Tyler Boyd for Keenan Allen, telling me, man, you're not going to use him. What? You know, you're not going to use Keenan Allen. And he went for 132 yards on 19 targets last week and a score. I can't wait to use him again. I can't wait to use him every week from now on for the rest of the season. Hopefully he stays healthy. But, yeah, there's only great things coming. Herbert threw 49 times last week. Jeez. And Keenan Allen is his best buddy.
I'm going to trade friend. You for him.
What are you going to give me CMC? What are you going to do?
No, especially I can give Mike you like Marquise Brown and someone else. But we'll talk later. We'll talk later.
Yeah.
Especially if Mike Williams is out. Right. He's battling a hammy. Hunter Henry could have – but yeah, I would not bet on either of the Chargers getting loose on the running game, because Tampa just is continuing. They were dominant against running backs last year in the running game, not so much in the passing game. But Tampa Bay, I think, is shaping up as a pretty good defense. Every time I see Godwin's name, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop right there.
But look, the Chargers are going to be playing from behind, so look for a lot of Herbert. And Hunter Henry is going to be his easy guy to go to get those third downs, and he's been amazing on third downs. So they'll keep it close, but the Bucs are going to lead the whole way.
And remember, just my reminder to everyone, I picked up Keenan Allen in the 7th round.
Bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show.
For our show.
Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure Independent Podcast gets out in the Familia community. All to you guys, you know, please subscribe. Make sure you're leaving us a review, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. And look for Dentro y Afuera for our Stardom Sit'em. On familiafp.com. Hey, find me, Jorge Martin 17 at Twitter. And Hector, where do they find you?
You'll find me at my Instagram at what the heck, WHATTDAHEC, two T's, what the heck.
Yeah, also on Twitter there, same one.
Twitter so, and Instagram.
Gracias, everybody. Remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.